The October meeting of the Warren Bungle Shire Council open, and firstly I'd like to make a note that the passing of Phil Jones, who passed away yesterday, who was Councillor Doolan's father-in-law, and I'd like to send the sympathy to you, to deliver the sympathy to the Jones family and the Doolan family on our behalf.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll certainly do that. We'll definitely miss him. And through you, could I pass on our family's gratitude to our colleague and our friend, Dr. Ian Utzi, for his kindness and his skill in dealing with our father-in-law.
We'll go on to the acknowledgement of country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land at which this meeting is held, and pays its respect to the elders of both past and present, and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. Please turn your mobile telephones off
And Mr. Mayor, just a reminder to councillors and members of the public that the council meeting itself is recorded and shall be placed on the web after the meeting.
All apologies.
Apology from Councillor Cody Brady.
Remover. Councillor Lewis. Councillor Hill. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Confirmation the minutes of the meeting held on the 19th of September 2019. Articles to be discussed. Mover, Councillor Doolan, second at Councillor Hill. Arising for the minutes, the discussion. I'll put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Those of interest, pecuniary or non-pecuniary conflict of interest. Haven't got any. Item number one, mayoral minutes. Mayoral log of activity. Kilometres travelled expenses from the 10th of September 2019. You got a mover? Now Councillor Chinton. Councillor Cable.
Can I just ask a couple of questions there? Can we have a report for the next meeting on the outcome of the drought conference at the Town Hall? You know, who attended and what was talked about and what they've come up with, if that's possible?
Yep. At this point in time, I haven't seen the outcomes of that meeting, so I'm still waiting for them.
Good-o. And second one, I just noticed that you didn't attend the JO meeting in Narromine. Did the General Manager go?
Yeah. I did, yes.
Right, could I ask a question then through you, Mr. Mayor? Some time back I read that we have to sign a third-party agreement between Inland Rail and the councils as a joint body. Is that where I read that?
No.
I wanted to know if we have done that?
This council has. I'm not aware of anything for the JO, though. I think you might be misinterpreting something there.
Right, okay. Right. Yeah, I wasn't sure where I read it. I couldn't find it, but I thought that was an agreement between all the councils that you're going to use the same legal...
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And we have signed it?
We're close to signing, I think.
Right, okay.
There's a number of different agreements.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think there was an agreement to use the legal firm, but as for an agreement with council and what is agreed upon between them, us and Inland Rail or ARTC, that hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item number two, Councillor's monthly travel claims. Mover, we have a Councillor Chester, Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item? For the motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Oh, just on that point, Mr. Mayor, was there a correction? I emailed the general manager.
That's just the mistyping there of July in the total, but in the actual recommendation, it's correct.
Item number 3, minutes of Traffic Advisory Committee meeting held the 26th of September.
Yeah, move.
Move, Councillor Shenton, Councillor Hill, second. Any discussion on this item?
Could I just point out that I wasn't late to the meeting this time? I just noticed in the minutes they put me down as late again. I was actually there this time. I wasn't 5 minutes late.
Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item number 4, minutes of the Internal Audit Committee meeting, 17th of September. Can I move Councillor Doolan, Councillor second, Councillor Clancy second. Any discussion on this item? Yes, Councillor Doolan.
Well, if I could, Mr. Mayor, just a couple of things for the general knowledge of everyone in the room here today. At the minute, it's, as you can see there, it's called our Internal Audit Committee. But the plan is to change the title of that to the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee. And I think that will better reflect its function, that we're not just looking at auditing things, but there's also an examination of the risks, varied risks that are faced by the council, and also different ways that we can improve our processes, improve our business plans, our procedures by council. And to that end, the committee would welcome any input from colleagues around the table here, the councillors, or indeed the general public, if they've got a concern or a suggestion that would make our council run better. We're more than happy to hear that. In fact, we'd be delighted to hear from you. So I'll drop an email to the councillors to that effect. But discussing that after the meeting with the two independent people we've got there, Mr. Paul Nankerville and our chairman, Mr. Graham Marchant, it would be appropriate to send Mr. Marchant an email with your idea, your concern, and we'll place that on the agenda for the next meeting, and your business will be dealt with. So the first meeting was really an introductory process and getting where we're going to, so we'll, the next meeting, as you'll see there, is in sometime in December, and I think it'll be a worthwhile addition to our governance here at the council.
Thank you, Councillor.
I have a couple of comments, questions, if you like. I'm interested to hear that the name of the committee is about to be changed to reflect a broader function, so I take that on board. Before I heard that, I was going to make the point that it would be difficult to conduct an internal audit committee if the persons that may be subject to that audit are actually attending the meeting every time. So my question is through you, Mr. Mayor, would be to Councillor Doolan, what procedures are to be put in place in the event, and I'm not saying that that's the case now, but in the event that there was to be concern about how things are being conducted? And number two, how does a councillor or a member of the public, for that matter, refer things to the committee for consideration?
Well, the second one's the easy one. That will... If you would like to contact the chair, Mr. Marchant, via email, that will be the way to do that. So I'll send the councillors an email to that effect, and you'll have his email copied in there, so you'll have that for your reference. And then that will be that's a concern that you've raised that is a good one, a serious one, and I think that'll be something that I'll be able to discuss with the two independent chairs, especially our chairman, who's got experience on several independent audits around the countryside, so I'll get some advice from him and report back. I think it's a valid point you raise, and we'll deal with it seriously.
No comments?
Yep. Over here, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor
A couple of things I picked up, but that's Paul Nankerville, our Mayor of Corindo, is it?
That's him.
Yeah, it's Nankerville.
Yes.
V-E-L-L. Okay. The other one was on page 15, where it said, focus on audit and RFS assets. It may be millions of dollars of adjustment. What to whom? Who's going to have to, and what does it do to us if we have to adjust this?
In actual fact, we'll be reporting later this evening about those adjustments when we come up to item number 17. So if you're happy to wait until that particular point, that's in relation to the RFS assets.
And the other one was, it says on 6.3 on page 16 that the Section 430 investigation committee was provided with an update. Did we get any further updates from Sydney? Because you were...
No. In fact, we asked about it again on Monday. Still nothing.
No discussion this item. Do we need to change the name of this or not here?
Well, the issue there is in part that the Office of Local Government currently have a discussion paper out in relation to internal audit committees and their names and functions. So I think, yeah, if Council wants to, it can go through that process now, or it can wait until the outcome of their consultation processes. If Council was to change the name, then it would need to say that it would need to review the terms of reference as well.
I think that's, what's in a name, he said. Billow's just as good as Romeo, so I think we won't lay awake at night worrying about that, but that's the way I'd like to go with that, just to reflect it's... We don't need to do it this afternoon, but we'll do that in the fullness of time, because I think it reflects the broader job that it will do over time. So.
It's also currently compliant with the guidelines that were issued by the Office of Local Government.
Any more discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 5, minutes of the Robertson Oval Advisory Committee meeting. Councillor Cable. Any discussion on this item? No more discussion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? All right. Carried unanimously. Item 6, minutes of the Plant Advisory Committee meeting till the 3rd of October. Mover, Councillor Lewis, Councillor Cable. Any discussion on this item?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. In the general business part of the meeting, we discussed putting dash cams in the garbage truck and street sweeper to minimise and prove whether we're wrong or right when people reckon they haven't got their bins picked up, etc., etc. They're relatively cheap, and I think it'd pay for itself very, very quickly. But the minutes say that the item was discussed without resolution. I thought we were going ahead with it.
Like to see done, Councillor Lewis.
What do I do about that? Do I ask for the minutes to be changed, or do you want me to move a motion that we go ahead with that? Or?
Mr. Mayor, I don't believe, given the low level of expenditure with that installation, it's happening. So I'm not sure that a recommendation is needed as such. We are going ahead with it. With the trial use of dash cams.
So, are we getting them? Or?
Yes.
We are, good.
Just through you, Mr. Mayor, to the chairman of the committee, I was unavoidably delayed that day with a medical emergency with a stud heifer, and I thought I'd ring my colleague, the chairman.
We had you on speakerphone.
But I'm not down as an apology. I thought two phone calls would warrant me being an apology, that was all. So if the minutes could reflect that I did make an effort to
That's an item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 7, Coonabarabran Emergency Water Supply Project. Councillor Doolan, Councillor Chinton. Any discussion on this item? Discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Could we get a media release on that, in as much as there's a bit of public dissatisfaction about the dam wall not being raised, and a more thorough explanation to the public that we'd be putting the water there for an environmental flow and it wouldn't be much
to the public? Excuse me, Councillor, that's the next item, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Oh, that's another item, isn't it?
Item number 8, raising the Tymore Dam, feasibility study and dam safety upgrade. A mover? Councillor Clancy. Councillor Hill. Any discussion this item?
Well, if through you, Mr Mayor, I could get some guidance from the General Manager if I was going to raise an alternate motion. So what's the protocol there? How do we...
You move an amendment unless the amendment is direct negative to what's currently before council, because there's currently a motion before council now.
Right. Well, I do have a motion that's directly negative to that, or an amendment that I'd like to move that's directly negative to that.
Can we hear what it is?
He's certainly entitled to speak against and point out what he wants to move once it's voted down.
Could I read my alternate one now? Is that what we would do?
If you have...
Give it a crack.
Righto. My alternative is, one, that an invitation be sent to the Deputy Premier, John Barilaro, to attend to the Warrumbungle Shire to discuss raising the dam wall. Two, that a report be prepared for the Deputy Premier to demonstrate the technical readiness for the project. And three, that a decision on the desirability of raising the dam wall be deferred until after the Deputy Premier's visit.
I'll second that.
I'll put the amendment. Those in favour?
No
amendment. You want to move amendment? You want to move amendment?
I do.
Move Councillor Doolan, Councillor Cable.
Surely there's a recommendation being put and seconded. You'd put the recommendation, and if these people believe this, then it will be lost, and then he can put up a new motion. Surely that's the way we'd go? No?
The original motion up first.
Why not?
Yeah, right.
And if these people believe that they want to follow it.
We'll need a mover for that.
Generally, we'd put down the recommendation and then move the amendment.
Well, this is not an amendment. It's a complete and utter 100% against what is advised here. So,
While we're deciding,
point of order. Point of order, Mr. May. Point of order. Would it be simpler to simply let it lay on the table and all the things that have been discussed can just unfold without necessarily needing motions and can bring it back in a month or two?
That may work, because we want to send it in, but...
That's right.
We need to send an invitation.
But I'm not sure that we need a council resolution to do that. You can just do that as an ordinary activity between meetings, can't you?
I don't want to confuse things too much, but I actually don't see it as a direct negative.
This one says...
Basically, there's an invitation being offered and we defer a decision until that point in time, is how I interpreted what Councillor Doolan said.
That's the gist of it.
Just let it lay on the table. I agree with what Councillor Nucci say.
Abel?
I think we also need clarification around the purpose of the fish ladder. Is it for fish to get out or get in? If it's to get in, why do we want carp up there? At the moment, to me, you're just adding an environmental vandal into a dam if there aren't any carp there already. I don't know. Is there carp up there?
Probably not.
No. But so if you put in a ladder so they can get in there, that seems like a dumb thing to do.
Well, you can do all sorts of things, and like the way the Deputy Premier operates, he uses common sense more than anything else.
And
this would be the sort of thing that we could explain ourselves around. The river doesn't exist between the dam and where the water flows. There's nothing there now. Yeah, it's just bush, and this whole environmental thing. If we can't argue our way out of this, I'd be surprised, because it's not an environment anymore. Not a river environment.
I did make an inquiry. We could possibly get away with the existing part, but they might try and make us give more out of the gain with raising of the wall. So we'd have to fight to have no environmental flow, which I totally agree. If there's nothing there now, what's the environment? And why put in a fish ladder if there's no water there now? And if you're putting in a fish ladder, if it's only so things can get up in there, well, that seems silly.
Well, he said to me that what we want to put a fish ladder in at all for.
Exactly, when it's nearly half the cost of raising the wall, that seems an extraordinary amount of money for...
But he told me he'll be here in the near future to have us look at it. Councillor Dillon?
Yeah, we have just a bit of background there. I was heartened to see the Deputy Premier on the television one night explaining a bit of common sense in all these matters, and I thought, well, I like the sound of that, so I contacted the GM and said, would you be able to tee up a meeting for us at the local government conference, which we've just had there. So, thanks, Kim. So the GM was off to the drought conference, and we were hopeful that we'd be able to tee up the meeting with the Deputy Premier at that, but the Deputy Premier didn't attend, so the Mayor was going to Country Mayors, I think it might have been, some fun thing in Sydney, so... The Mayor said, well, he would tee up a meeting with the Deputy Premier, but we were instead given or promised one with the Water Minister, Minister Pavey. And I thought, well, that's good, because I'd seen an article with her in the press saying she was going to sack anyone who didn't get on and start building dams. And I thought, well, that's probably a good person to have. But when we went to the conference, we weren't given a meeting with Minister for Water. We had the meeting with the Minister for Local Government, and we raised our concerns there. But the Deputy Premier was there, and I approached him, and as did the Mayor, and we just expressed our agreement with what he had to say, our frustration, and he said, is your project ready to go? And I said, my word, it is. And he said, well, I will come and visit you. So, and that was reinforced. The Mayor spoke to him, and the Mayor spoke to the Water Minister. They've got the same sort of answer. So we thought, well... just to make sure he wasn't saying that to be saying that, we'll formalise it with an invitation and see where our cards roll after that.
We need to send a letter to him. We need a motion to do that or not?
I think that's in there. There's concerns about depreciation and that, and they're all valid concerns, but I thought that might be something, as well as fish ladders and whatnot, we could be talking to the Deputy Premier about our concerns there as well at the same time. And they just seem to be, at the minute, you know, they're looking for things to announce. Warren Gamba got mentioned on the weekend. They're getting a lot of money. Dungowan Dam's getting a lot of money, and I think the time's right. If we could, if we can get their ear at just the right time, you never know what we might get, so.
At least you know what's in a dam as opposed to what's underground.
Yes, anyway. So.
Any more speakers on this item? I'll put the motion as in favour. Put the amendment. As in favour. Carried unanimously. The amendment becomes the motion. I'll put the motion. Councillor Dinnerty, carried unanimously. Item number 9, Australia Day 2020. Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item?
I think it's pretty straightforward.
No discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Councillor Cable, you ready? They carried. Item number 10, council officers' Christmas closure.
Yeah, I'll move the recommendation.
Member Councillor Lewis, Councillor Cable to second. Any discussion of this item? The motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 11, meeting schedule. Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Clancy. Any discussion this item? Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Oh, no, I'm against. Sorry.
You're against.
I didn't put my hand up. I'm against.
Against.
Yep.
And 12, returns under S421 of the Model Code of Conduct, disclosing interest of councillors and designated persons. We've got a mover. Abel, Councillor Doolan. Any discussion of this item? Councillor Doolan.
Well, just to refer the information of the, well, everyone in the room, actually, because we're all on this. There was some discussion at the local government conference that this information should not be quite so readily available at the click of a mouse, because, you know, the world's a different place than what it used to be. So that was the recommendation from the local government conference, that it be a little bit harder to get, that it's public, you know, a hard copy is publicly available, and then people, if they so wish, could be able to pay to get a copy of the information, and then there'd be a record of who had paid to get that information, and they'd probably be unlikely to use it in a nefarious manner. So that was passed easily at the conference the other day, so in the fullness of time that mightn't be quite so easy to get at the click of a mouse.
Discussion this item. Motion, those in favour? Try again. Carried unanimously. National Road, item 13, National Roads Congress, Transport Congress. Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Hill. Any discussion this item?
I just need some clarification on the General Manager's not going, the Mayor is going, and there are two other councillors who put their name down. Is that what the situation is?
No. I've indicated I don't wish to go, and the council policy provides for two councillors to go. So it doesn't designate the mayor as one of those councillors. It's now up to, well, if council passes this motion, then it'll be up to council to appoint who those two delegates will be.
Since most councils send have a general manager and a mayor going, and one councillor, it's usually three. And I was suggesting that perhaps we should just let three councillors go.
An amendment, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Want a discussion item?
I've got it.
Is there a second?
We got a second to that. Second amendment? I get a second lapses.
Okay.
So what does... Pull it out of hat or something, if you wanted to, or do you want to? I don't care.
who wants to go? Put that way.
I want to go.
I'd love to go, but we've got to drown.
Who wants to go? I was interested to go.
Yes, and just in light of recent things, whether that's what we'll end up doing. I was just interested in going. Yeah, but I
for the purpose of the argument, Mr. Mayor, I'll second Peter's motion that three people go because the GM's not going, so it's actually not costing council any extra money.
That run, yes.
That'd worry me about spending the extra day, so I'll sit this one out.
You're not going to go?
Yeah.
Well, that only leaves two, doesn't it? Abbott, Councillor Cable, you said?
No, feeding.
In that case, Mr. Mayor, is Councillor Shinton and Councillor Lewis withdrawing their motion? Yep.
And where we go now?
Could I suggest that Council resolves that Council appoints Councillors Todd and Shinton as delegates to attend the Australian Local Government Association 2019 National Local Roads and Transport Congress, etc., etc.
I'll put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 14, Council's Resolution Report, October 2019. Mover, Councillor Shinton, Councillor Clancy. Any discussion on this item? No discussion, I'll put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 15, Rebates, October 2019. A mover. Councillor Doolan. Any discussion this item? Discussion this item, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 16, Delivery Program Progress Report. Mover. Councillor Cable. Councillor Lewis. Any discussion this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 17, completion of annual financial statements as 30th of June 2019. We've got a supplement.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Over. Councillor Lewis. Your seconder, Councillor Clancy. In discussion this item, General Manager, you got something?
Mr. Parker, if you'd like to provide an update of what's happened with the financial statements as well as advise on Councillor Shinton's earlier inquiry.
Since the last meeting, September meeting, there's been a fair bit of debate between council staff and the auditors and the auditor general, and in particular concerns the RFS, what they call the RFS Red Fleet, and in regards to the TRRC. And in the extra information you've been given today, fundamentally, in the regards to the easier one, the RFS plant, from 2016-17, this council had not actually been adding the bushfire plant to the assets register, and that's like many other councils. In the case of now the involvement of the Auditor General, they believe that it must be included in the local government assets registers, and to avoid a qualified audit, it was easier to just go with the flow in that regard. And to do that, they provided us with a list of, this is the Auditor General, a list of the RFS plant that they believed that we had, and that we had to work out over the last 3 years what the depreciation might be on those assets, and a number of other things. What that meant was that we had to adjust the comparative figures from the financials for the previous year coming forward into the financial statements for 2018-19 in three ways. We had to bring in the 2016-17 fleet. We had to bring in plus the accumulated depreciation. We had to bring in the 17-18 fleet, and then of course the other thing that they've required us to do is once we get an allocation of the bushfire equipment each year, the plant and equipment, we're required to actually reflect that straight into our accounts, regardless of whether we've actually received the equipment at that particular time. We can do that, and we can still control basically the way that council was doing it in the past. So not a great deal of problems with doing it that way, but one of the things that's impacted on the bottom line is that we now have depreciation happening on the red fleet, and one of the adjustments to the financials since the last meeting was $399,000 in extra depreciation, and that goes straight to the bottom line. Says takes away from any surplus or adds to a deficit if you've got one. So, as you imagine, with the Auditor General, it's a losing feast to actually attempt to actually tell them any different. The other issue that we had, of course, is when following, in particular, the council resolution in August to do with option 10 to do with TRRRC, in that council resolved that its preferred option would be to demolish the units that are in park construction. It then meant that they had a very serious look at all the issues to do with that, all the reports that we've received, and thank you for Director of Ryan for her assistance in that way, because it's a complicated matter. So what it meant was that they're saying that okay, we had 4.17 million in what we call work in progress for that particular project out of the 7.5 million of the total project. And they said, well, it's obviously not worth that. You'll have to impair that asset. And to the impair a work in progress, it means that you write down the value of that from the 4.17, and we had to establish a figure. And there were some reports that indicated that what we had left over was in the order of 700,000, if that was done. Because the DA fees and all the other things that might be underground that we can reuse, road access and cleaning up of the site. And so basically they insisted on, and as part of the accounting standards, that we had to take that into account, and we did an adjustment of 3.473 million on the work in progress amount, and that adjustment was a direct adjustment to our operating statement, which meant that you moved from the figure that we actually had down to after capital grants and contributions to a net deficit of $4,984,000. So in doing that, the effect on the operating statement was that materials and contracts were adjusted, and on the asset side, work in progress, part of what's called Note 9, the assets note, was reduced by that figure. So they're the two really messy things that we've in particular been working on for the last couple of weeks, backwards and forwards, trying to establish those particular things. So other than that, we're on the sort of same page. So bottom line, in the documents that you've been given today, on the second page, it shows the those adjustments and the bottom line that I just mentioned as a deficit. So the recommendation that you see on the material today is basically the same as the recommendation in the report that was in your business paper. It's saying that we need the certificates for to be signed for the general purpose financial statements and the special purpose financial statements, and basically it says then after receiving the audit certificate for those two sets of accounts, which we expect tomorrow, at least in the next few days, that we will then forward those on to the Office of Local Government. The only thing that in regards to the internal audit report that was mentioned earlier, there was a recommendation in the audit, internal audit number two, that said that we're to actually provide the finalised audit statements and audit certificate to the Internal Audit Committee for their review before sending it off, but that's unfortunately clearly not possible. But at that particular meeting, it was said that we would forward to the Internal Audit Committee members as soon as we had all the information, including a thing that they are working on. We've given comments back. It's called the engagement report, audit report, and that will accompany that. And that details the issues that the auditors have found in the audit, what they call misstatements, and other matters that of significance. And that will be sent out as soon as we have all those things. Will be sent to all the councillors. It's a confidential report to councillors, and as I say, that'll come out. So that we're expecting now that at the November meeting is when the presentation to council of the auditor's audit certificates and the financial statements, and you will be. They will be available to answer virtually any questions that you might have at that time.
Question this item?
Mr. Mayor, I ask the question, when we're writing money off for depreciation of an asset, are we actually putting that money aside to replace that asset when the time comes due?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Basically, what you're attempting to do with your capital expenditure is at least spending the equivalent each year on average to what your depreciation is a non-cash item, but basically what you're trying to do is, okay, our assets being used up at this sort of rate, we should be at least spending that same rate over the life of the various assets. Is that...
Councillor
Dempsey. Two questions. The first is a very simple one. Has the repair to the roof been factored into these figures? And the second question is $3.47 million works out to be approximately $400 per person who lives in our shire. Would it be, given that these figures are difficult to interpret for most people who aren't accountants, would it be fair to conclude that the Dunedoo debacle has cost each ratepayer $400?
From the point of view of the roof, that's a work in progress, so that's been carried forward. So the numbers or the finances for that work is included in the reserves, I suppose, going forward. In relation to your question about the Dunedoo project, well, it's not an easy one to answer, but at this point in time, most of that's been funded by other agencies, state and federal agencies, so it's not physically costing those people as individuals that sort of money.
So at another point, however, in regard to legal costs and those sorts of things, as that comes forward and the result of the legal case, certainly that type of approach could be used to explain it to the public.
Thank you, because I think the public is going to want to know in more lay terms the extent of the loss.
I'd just like to know, if we only make a contribution to the purchase of these RFS assets, why do we have to depreciate the full value of the asset? That's just absurd in my book. We only contribute, was it 13% or whatever it is?
11.7.
11.7. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it used to be 13.3, yes. Basically, what we do is, firstly, we contribute 11.7% to, now, different calculation, but basically on average the 20-year model of assets that we apparently need, made up of a number of components, one being the fleet, one being buildings, others being equipment and so forth. So to some degree, certainly it's all about control. Certainly the buildings, certainly in our control in the sense of the brigade buildings. The argument has been, as you might realise, about do we now control the Red Fleet in the sense of selecting it and so forth. That's debatable. We are under the control now on an audit basis with the auditor's office. Clearly that's an arm of the state government. That's where the direction is coming from.
I think you might recall, Councillor Shinton, that you were present when we had one of our first meetings with the audit office last year. That was held in my office, and I can't recall exactly the names of the two characters who came out from the audit office, but they did indicate then that there was quite a significant debate going on within the audit office as to whether it should be depreciated or not. And I think even the two gentlemen that come and spoke with us, they were of different views at that particular point in time. Obviously, they've come to a conclusion within the audit office. Like you, I have trouble comprehending the decision that they come to. But I suppose in defence of them, it does fall into line with how other assets works on council's books. So when we are provided with grant monies for particular works, and let's, for argument's sake, say the lots of funding for lights that we've got, or the skate parks, They're substantially grant-funded, but they're going in the council's books, and we have control, and we're expected to depreciate them. It's a similar issue that I have in relation to the Tymore Dam. I have indicated that in the reports that if we were to put up the wall, then we would be expected to depreciate the amount of infrastructure that goes there, despite the fact that we may receive something like 90% of the funding to do those works. We would then have to depreciate, and then that would then affect the viability or the profitability of the water fund.
So what happens now to the service level agreement? Yeah, like, I mean, because that's, these were vested assets in that agreement, and now someone else is, do we still have an agreement, or what's happened now?
We still have an agreement. You're talking about for the Castle Ray zone. It's probably an agreement that needs to be reviewed, particularly as the change in the funding arrangements have changed, and that is, as Mr. Parker says, it's now over something like a 20-year term where the calculation is done, whereas before it was purely on your bids. So I think what was happening was that the government was being told by councils across the state that they weren't prepared to put anything more in than what was going to result in a rate pegging increase, whereas up until more recent times, councils have been putting significant bids, and as a result, when they got funded, there was a significant increase in the contribution. So the council got sick of that and started saying, no, there's going to be restrictions on the amount of infrastructure or investment that there is in the Rural Fire Service. I'd be very happy to hand the Red Fleet over to emergency services.
Maybe that should be a local government thing for next year.
It's been debated at conferences many a times.
I know.
I can go back decades, literally, and I think Councillor Clancy might even recall some debates when with the old Shires Association when the RFS was first coming on into council books.
That's this item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 18, investment and term deposits, the month of 30 September 2019. A mover. Councillor Clancy, Councillor Hill, Cable. Question this item. Any discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 19, proposal to name and gazette two private roads in Homely Drive. The mover?
I'll move the recommendation.
Councillor Lewis? Seconder?
Yeah.
Hill?
Sorry.
On these two items.
I like the name Gabba Road. We could just change the spelling of that a little bit. It means white fella.
We'll be self-happy in a minute.
Any discussion on this item?
Or was it staying as a kid in a close?
Got to get back to the people.
The motion, those in favour? All right. Carried unanimously. Item number 20, name change proposal, locality of Napier Lane. Mover. Councillor Shinton. Seconder. Councillor Lewis. Any discussion on this item?
Only discussion I've got on this item is when we change the addresses and whatever in the Neelrex area, the relevant authorities were not contacted, and the mail sorting machine in Orange wasn't brought up to speed on the changes, and people's mail is getting misdirected left, right and centre. say, could we make sure when we do this one that the relevant authorities are notified properly?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. That'll be undertaken. The Geographical Names Board will disseminate the changes to
the... It wasn't actually the Geographical Names Board, it was the Mail Sorting Centre.
Yeah.
And my mail, for instance, is 20 Merrigan Street, was going to 20 Merrigan Street in Dunedoo because computers haven't got brains and it just picked up on that address. It's something that needs to be looked into and sorted out so we don't have the same problem again.
Noted.
We'll discuss on this item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 21, public swimming pool policy. Over. Councillor Clancy, Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item?
I'd just like to put it to council. I think the cost of admission is too dear. Whether I'm allowed to say that or not, I don't know, but I think we're pricing ourselves out of the market. And there's a lot of buyer resistance. That's just my opinion.
Any more discussion on this item? Well, I've got one. When the schools go to the swimming pool with their swimming groups, they are sending teachers' aides, which are not supposed to be in charge of kids. They must send a school teacher with them. Well, I didn't certainly second it.
Wouldn't it be under the school's policy?
What's that?
Wouldn't it be part of the school's policy what they can do? The department's policy?
Not doing it.
I would think if your teacher's in charge of your class, it's the teacher that would be going with you to the swimming pool, not the teacher's aides.
Councillor
Newland? No. Mr. Mayor, I think it was demonstrated at the Cooler meeting that they don't know what their policy is. You know, we had the presentation that said, from the lady that spoke in the forum, that she couldn't ask her teachers to take that responsibility to look after the children, but she has to. That is the law.
That's the law.
So, just, you know, an offhanded comment, they might not be aware of their policy and what they're supposed to do, and I think that's possibly where the mayor's coming from. If they're sending the wrong staff, the guidelines are quite clear. I've got them here on the iPad from last month. Still, it does mention teachers. It doesn't say it has to be a teacher with CPR training. So that might need to be drawn to their attention. Yeah.
We'll discuss this item.
A motion there in relation to the report already, so you need to deal with that one.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 22, provision of bitumen and sealing services. Mover. Councillor Shenton. Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item?
You promised rain, Kevin?
The best way to do it is to put on bitumen sealing.
The motion, those in favour? Councillor Nucci? Carried unanimously. Item 23, waiving access fees to standpipes, pursuant Section 68 Local Government Act. Mover. Councillor Doolan. Councillor Hill. Any discussion this item? I I don't get the gist of this, but this standpipe, we charge them an additional fee on top of everything else, are we? And that, and what about it? They've got to pay an access fee as well, or not?
That would be the water charge, I would imagine. This deals with the approval under Section 68 of the Local Government Act to extract from a standpipe. Different matter. Be different.
Can we waive it? No trouble.
On the Section 68 access fee for the approval under this recommendation, that's what I'm recommending. But as for the fee to take water, that's not what this report's about.
Any more discussion on this item? Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 24, draft charitable collection funds in the Warrumbungal Shire policy. The mover, Councillor Clancy, Councillor Lewis. Any discussion on this item? No discussion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 25, local heritage place grants. Mover, Councillor Clancy, Councillor.
What's that?
Question this item? No discussion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 26, development applications. Mover, Councillor Hill. Seconder, Councillor Clancy. Any discussion on these items? Discussion is
right.
Councillor.
No, sorry, I was making you
sound. The motion, those in favour? Councillor Cable, you in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 27, a notice of motion, the Star Wars theme weekend. Mover, Councillor Nudsey. Seconder, Councillor Clancy. Any discussion of these items?
I'd like to, under financial guarantee, the second dot point there, it's proposed that all funds be made available to and be managed by WSC. Does that mean a staff member will be appointed to this? And in that case, does that mean it's a budget item? Or have we got someone in the Shire that's jumping up and down saying, I want to be part of this committee and support the group of citizens who have... it looks like they're meeting every week now, I think, to get this going. I know that grants have been applied for through 2357, and if those grants are successful, they can't pay the council. So somewhere along the line, we either all get together and have one group running this until it gets going. Or if it's going to be the council, then who's it going to be? Who's your nominated person going to be who's so keen on this?
I realise that that's vague, and it was deliberately so because, as has been correctly discussed, it's still in its infancy and it wasn't quite apparent to me who exactly is the committee, what sort of structure the committee might have. So it made sense to me to, at this stage, release the funds but leave it within our control so we don't just dump considerable amount of money into the ether, let's say. So as things become more concrete or better defined, we could perhaps amend this motion or pass some subsequent resolutions to direct the funds a little bit more sensibly. However, I still felt it was worthwhile putting this motion because in principle we do need to send a clear message to the community that we're in favour of such ideas and that we're in favour of such promotion. We should be a council that's seen to be proactive. There seems to be a good amount of support for this concept within the community. I don't believe it's a large amount of money, and I think it would send a very positive signal to the community that we are not a council of just saying no to people, that we are a council that are in favour of doing positive things.
No motion on this, Councillor Cable.
I support the settlement. I think it's a brilliant idea. I do think, I agree with Councillor Shinton, we need to be careful because it sets a precedent, so we need to make sure whatever, however we do it, it's going to be consistent going forward. On grant funding, any money they expend before they get their grant approved, they can't retrospectively cover. That's generally how the grants work. So if they've got money going out now, grant funding coming in February won't help anything. So I can see there would be a financial implication for the group running it. My concerns are they're not an incorporated group. I'm not aware they're running under an incorporated.
They are.
They are running under 235 now.
Yep.
So there is an incorporated body, so
That's right.
That's good. Okay. I wasn't aware of that before, because you do need that structure.
Yeah, that's right. Now, they understand how to do it. Some of the members, the management members of 2357 are part of this group. Actually, the whole idea came out of a think tank. I think it was two of the moteliers came up with the idea, and it's been around for probably 12 months or more, and now a group have come together who are really keen on running this, and I applaud you for the motion. I think it's fantastic. But that one little dot point there is the one that worried me the most. And we're not setting a precedent here, Councillor Capel, because we underwrote the Crooked Mountain concert for years and years without... there was no formal motion ever put to council. It was just, hey, what if this goes bad at any stage? Will you blokes fund us? And the answer was, yeah. And it was only 2 years before it stopped that I noticed we were still underwriting it. And so we stopped it then because it made a profit and was, it was capable of running itself. So we stopped underwriting it. But it's not a new thing that we underwrite things. But at some stage, this committee, I think we should trust them to manage this. And I don't think it'll be complicated in any way. But the way they're looking at it, the funding bodies have already contacted them back and said, hey, there's a faster way and a better way of doing this. And since you're drought affected, here's another one that you could go for. So they're now looking at new funding bodies, so it's happening very quickly. And apparently they're meeting once a week, which I only found out this morning. So the committee haven't really formally started because they'd like to involve a lot of people around the Shire, and I think they're looking at all the development groups to be part of this. And I think it's quite an exciting concept, the whole thing. But
how did we used to underwrite it for Crooked Mountain?
We just guaranteed that if they went broke, we had $10,000 sitting in the bank. I don't think it was ever, there it is in an account, but it was there the whole time. And, they kept making profits. And then I think it was they changed bosses out in the park. The bank said, are you still underwriting this? The answer was no. You've made a success of this. And, of course, the only reason it stopped was because the National Parks and Wildlife owned up to Sydney to say that that's where the extra money was coming from in their budgets. And so Sydney took it. That was the end of it. Yeah, it closed then quickly.
Mr Mayor, I reckon that us managing the funds be deleted is like financing someone into a car and tell them where they can drive it. We had trouble before with, I'll mention Binaway Bowling Club, where people down there the opinion that a staff member up here told them that nothing happens unless she approved it personally, and I wouldn't like to see that situation happen here. The people running it are reasonably professional, and my opinion is leave it to the general manager to organise and rather than a staff member and get it happening.
To you, Mr. Mayor, to the General Manager, is there a way, if we do have to fund components, that they can pay back once proceeds come in? Is there a mechanism that can happen on our financial books?
I'm not really following your question there, sorry.
Well, say if we contribute towards the event insurance and then they sell enough tickets to everything that they can reimburse us, is there a mechanism through our systems?
Sundry debtorum, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So we could do that.
Yes. To me, I think what's there at the moment makes sense. It provides an indication to the group that council is prepared to back them, but wait until you know they're a bit more advanced before council starts handing out the money.
No recommendation for this one, so we'd like to move a motion.
Should since
it's I think I've written it as a motion.
Yeah. So, what do you, Councillor Nucci? What do you think of the second dot point? Are you willing?
Well,
to
I can understand what you're saying, but I hope you can understand what I'm saying. I thought this was just a safer approach until things are more clearly defined. I'm just still, to this day, not quite clear what the committee structure is, who they're accountable for. So I would have thought that this is a safe way forward. It makes our intentions clear. And then, as I said earlier, once we know a bit more clearly who we're dealing with, what they're doing, we can pass subsequent resolutions to maybe make the movement of money a bit easier. But I think as the motion stands, I would envisage the money, there's an understanding with the people running this idea that there's money there, and then they can, as I understand this, or the intent of this is that they can then come and talk to the general manager or whoever he decides and draw out the money as we see fit. This way I think we're protecting the ratepayer from any potential loss of money that would that is not appropriate. Clearly there's an element of risk here, but I think that's, again, I've tried to protect that by putting some limits in terms of time and repayment methods there. I take on board what was said about grant money perhaps not being used to repay, but my understanding is that ticket sales and other things should be enough to pay us back. But, of course, there's an element of risk. There's always going to be an element of risk.
A lay-down bazaar, I reckon. But
I think it's extremely good idea if it's done well. So I'll support the motion. I just wanted to point out about the grant funding. With retrospective costs, they don't tend to come to that, unfortunately.
Mr. Mayor, no, I think it's a good idea, and I'll be supporting it. I was just wondering, I know we're talking in broad points, but whether Councillor Iannuzzi would be prepared to change it to the loan is for a maximum period of 3 years and must be repaid in full if the funds, you know, if it's the success that we all hope it will be, well, they might be flush this time next year and they could pay it back. And then... So I just thought if we could, you know,
I've got no objection to that. I guess having a term defines, I thought, a maximum.
Well, we could say for a maximum period.
But that's a semantic thing. Yeah. I'm more than happy to have an amendment like that, but it's not for me to... You'd need to, I guess, vote on that. But I think that's only a minor point.
Mm.
I don't think it changes the motion much.
No. Maximum period, 3 years. It must be repaid in full... when the funds allow, or if the, you know, if the first year is a raging success and they've got $100,000 profit, pays back.
So, Mr. Mayor, in my mind then, council should start putting in the applications for grants.
Council should, or?
Yeah, well, yeah, you've got a community group doing it. You've suddenly got two treasurers. How's this going to be ratified? Who's writing out checks? You're going to have two lots of monies by the sound of this coming in. One will come from grant funding and one's from the council who want to keep their hands on it. So I just don't understand how it can work with an auspicing body and then are you going to give the money to the auspicing body for this thing, or do you... Or are they supposed to give the money to you to manage? What's the go going to be?
That would have to be an issue that would be worked out, in my view. But I would be seeing that 2357 would be the organisation that would be applying for grants.
They are.
Yeah.
But your money's going to be aside, on the side of it, isn't it?
But my money?
If it's required.
Sorry. Oh, well, it will be required. If the first funding won't come through until probably March, and they've almost guaranteed, yeah, that's going to be a good application. But the if they wanted to put a holding fee down, you know, a deposit down on the band, for instance, and you're saying now that that cannot be repaid?
Usually with the grant, it's only from when you receive the grant funds going forward. Sometimes from when you apply, but very rarely it's retrospectively.
Now, I don't see a problem with this. We give them the money for the band, they have the party, they get the tickets and they pay us back then. It's got nothing to do with the grant.
Grants to keep going.
I haven't had a lot to do with it, like some around this table, obviously, but from the little that I have had to do with it, the feeling I got was the intent was purely as a seeding activity, and then they'll pay it back and then they'll just run independently.
That was mine.
Discussion on this item? I'll put the motion carried unanimously. Reports to be considered in closed council.
That's right.
Well.
Mr. Mayor, the first item there is 28.1, Organisational Development Monthly Report. Recommendation for that to go into closed council under 10A, 2A of the Act.
And a motion. Second. Councillor Doolan. Table. I'll put the motion. Councillor.
Item 28.2, Billy Kings Creek Bridge Project. Recommendation for it to go into closed council under 10A 2D1 of the Act.
Member, Councillor Cable, Councillor Doolan. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Item 28.3, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report. Recommendation for it to go into closed council under 10A 2G of the Local Government Act.
Member, Councillor Doolan, Councillor Cable. On with the motion. And in favour, carried unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, the opportunity now exists for those members of the public to come forward and express to council it's their views as to why these items should not go into closed council. Mr. Mayor, obviously there's no submissions from the public in relation to that, so there's a further recommendation there that council now go into closed council and consider those items.
I'll move. Councillor Cable, Councillor Clancy. Those in favour? Carried.
Recording. Mr. Mayor, just returning from closed council and reporting on the goings on of the closed council. in relation to item 28.1, Organisational Development Monthly Report. The resolution of Council was that the Organisation Development Monthly Report for the month of October 2019 be noted for information. In relation to item 28.2, Billy Kings Creek Bridge Project, the resolution of Council was that Council award the contract for the design and construction of the Billy Kings Creek Bridges Project to Saunders Civil Build Proprietary Limited for the sum of $1,105,260.53, inclusive of GST. In relation to item 28.3, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project, the resolution of closed council was that council endorsed the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project.
No further business. I declare the meeting closed at 6:43 p.m.
Well done.